The Lord is near, be anxious, not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The churches in Philippi and Thessalonica were churches that were born in hostility and conflict. Yet Paul urges both communities to rejoice always and give thanks and to pray continually. Paul, before he and his traveling companions, Paul and Silas and Luke and Timothy, they decided to head out and encourage the churches. And as it's a wonderful story, you should refer to it more directly in Acts chapter 16, 17. But as they set out to encourage the churches, they're trying to visit different communities. And several times we're told by Luke that the Holy Spirit prevented them from doing so, till they finally end up on the seacoast of Troas. And there they're trying to figure out what to do, because all the places they thought God was leading them, he said no. And Paul falls into a sleep that night, and as he sleeps, he dreams, and he has this vision of a man standing on the coast, and he's bidding him, come and help us. Paul wakes up the next morning, and he goes and he tells Silas and Luke what his vision, and they decide together that the Lord is calling us to go to the region of Macedonia, Thessalonica, Berea, Philippi. And so they set off. They cross the sea and they go. They land in Philippi, and there they begin their work of planting a church. They begin in an unofficial synagogue that's meeting along the side of the river for prayer. And eventually they spend some time there. And it happens that as they're there, that there's this guy who owns a slave girl who has the ability to predict the future. But she's doing this by the power of an evil spirit. And she begins to harass the disciples there. And Paul frees her from this demon, and it creates a riot. And because the owner realizes that his source of income is no longer available to him, because this woman has now been set free from that which has possessed her. And a riot breaks out, and the short end of the story is that Paul and Silas are dragged off, beaten by the authorities, and thrown into jail. And there they are, having been stripped naked and beaten with rods and ripped. They're now chained to the wall and probably around the ankles at this point. And it's so dark, they can't see the person whose breath they can feel on themselves. There's no water, no toilets. They're too miserable to sleep. And I can imagine in that moment, Silas is saying to Paul, that dream you had about coming to Philippi, could you review that for me one more time? Are you sure it was the Lord that was leading us here? Too miserable to sleep, Paul and Silas decide, as Luke writes in Acts chapter 16, at about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And all the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And all at once the doors opened up and their chains came loose. The Lord is near. Be anxious about nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Seems the moment we are least interested in gratitude is typically the time that we need it the most. There's been an ongoing body of research that has tied the attitude of gratitude with a number of positive emotional and physical health benefits. Scientists have documented the fact that when we feel gratitude, we have more energy. We are more optimistic. We have stronger and more social connections. Where gratitude is present, we're less likely to be depressed. Sorry. I don't know who did that. I don't even know where that's coming from. But I'm thankful for it as an opportunity to have Mike put up my slides. Thanks, Mike. Great. It might come on again because I don't know where it's located in here. But anyways, gratitude, those who are filled with gratitude are less likely to be depressed, less likely to be envious, greedy, or addicted. They sleep more soundly, they exercise more regularly, they have greater resistance to viral infections. Researchers are also exploring the connection between gratitude and health benefits in children and adolescents. They show that kids who feel and act in grateful, thankful ways tend to be less materialistic, get better grades, have higher goals and ambitions for their lives, complain of fewer headaches and stomach aches, feel more satisfied with their friends, their family, and their schools as compared with those who don't. Researchers conclude that there are a lot of these findings are things that we actually learned in kindergarten from our grandmothers. But now there's scientific evidence to prove that they're true. The key is not to leave Thanksgiving at the Thanksgiving table. Paul and Silas, Timothy and Luke go to Philippi. They're persecuted and harassed. Paul and Silas end up in prison, probably because they're Jewish, and Timothy and Luke are Greek, so they're spared that. But Paul's experience in Thessalonica was not any easier than his time in Philippi. Thessalonians 1:6, he writes to the church saying, "You became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you welcomed the message in the midst of severe suffering with joy given by the Holy Spirit." And it is to that church that Paul says, "Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in every circumstance." It's actually interesting to note that Paul, to the Thessalonians, the larger context is he's preparing them to live at the end of the age. In chapter 5 and 4, he's talking about the coming of the final day of the Lord. He talks about being ready for that day in terms of sanctity and holiness, but also gratitude. It's interesting. Seems the moment we're least interested in gratitude is typically the time that we need it the most. And Paul commands us to give thanks in all circumstances and in all situations. It's not a passive acceptance of evil or hardship. It's not a call to endure pain and suffering because pain and suffering is somehow good for us. But rather, it is a call to understand that because God is great enough to display his essence and his glory wherever we are and wherever we find ourselves. our rejoicing, our praying, and our giving thanks always is a rejoicing not in our circumstances, but in the Lord who is near in all of our circumstances. Rejoicing in the Lord. And underneath it all comes this premise that regardless of where we are, when we are, or what is happening to us, our chief characteristic is that we belong. We belong to Christ, our Savior, and He is present in the moment, whatever that moment happens to be. You know, it's time to make your Christmas list. Maybe you've already made your Christmas list. I'll send you mine and a little later today, and you can give me all those books I was hoping that I would be able to read this coming year. Sometimes giving thanks can be like compiling a list of presents we have received. And we lose sight of the fact that God doesn't bless us in order to improve our situation or simply to ease our burden. He blesses us because He cares for us, because we belong to Him. Biblical praise and gratitude are not directed to God simply for His benefits, but rather what His benefits communicate to us. They are God's way of sharing Himself with us and revealing Himself to us. God's benefits come to us as an expression of His glory that communicates some of His nature with us. They make Him known. And when we give thanks, we transform ourselves from being receivers to thanksgivers. We give thanks for the many blessings, but also for the one blessing that God is God. That's what Advent's about, right? That God is with us. The display of God in the universe and in our personal histories is an action of His pure love towards us. For God is love. You know, Paul and Silas didn't happen to just step into gratitude on that cold, dark, starving, bleeding, naked night in prison. It wasn't something that they just decided, well, we got nothing else better to do tonight. We might as well sing some songs. No, they understood from the very beginning that gratitude is an inescapable part of the gospel. Without it, there is no gospel. Incorporating the nature and referring to the nature of grace and gratitude, Karl Barth writes, "Grace and gratitude belong together like heaven and earth. Grace evokes gratitude like the voice an echo. Gratitude follows grace like thunder, lightning." Paul says, "The Lord is near. Be anxious about nothing, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." As we have done in the past several years, we'll observe Advent partly by being mindful of the Advent conspiracy, which is the idea that Christmas can still change the world. There are four tenets of the Advent conspiracy: worship fully, spend less, give more, love all. There's actually a table in the back about with some creative ideas of how you can give gifts this year in ways that enlarge your heart and bless our world. I'll refer you to those. But also the idea of Christmas changing the world. You know, we live in a world that needs changing, but the reality is, if we don't work on our own hearts first, we have nothing to say or offer to the world. And so this morning I'd like us to take a few minutes together to give thanks. And you'll notice on the front of your bulletin cover there are two or three yellow stickies. And we'll do our annual wall of gratitude this morning. So I'd like you to think